Chapter 24, The Philosophy of Sankhya. In this chapter, Lord Krishna gives instruction how bewilderment of the mind can be dispelled by the science of Sankhya. Herein, the Supreme Lord again imparts to Uddhava instruction about the analysis of material nature. By assimilating this knowledge, the spirit soul can derive and drive away his confusion based on false dualities. In the beginning of creation, the seer and seen are one and indistinguishable. This supreme absolute truth, one without a second, and inaccessible to words and mind, then separates into two, the seer, which means consciousness or personality, and the seen, which means substance or nature. The material nature, which comprises the three modes of matter, is agitated by the controlling male factor. The Mahatattva then becomes manifest together with the energies of consciousness and activity. From these come the principle of false ego in its three aspects of goodness, passion, and ignorance. From false ego in the mode of ignorance arise 15 subtle forms of sense perception, followed by the 15 physical elements. From false ego in the mode of passion come the 10 senses, and from false ego in the mode of ignorance come the mind and the 11 demigods who preside over the senses. By the conglomeration of all these elements grows the universal egg, in the midst of which the personality of Godhead, as the creating Lord of the universe, takes up residence in the role of indwelling supersoul. From the navel of this ultimate creator comes a lotus upon which Brahma takes birth. Lord Brahma, invested with the mode of passion, executes austerities by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and on the strength of these penances, he is able to create all the planets of the universe. The region of heaven is meant for the demigods, that of inner space for ghostly spirits, and that of the earth for human beings and others. And the region above these three planetary systems are the places of advanced sages, and in the lower worlds are those of demons, naga, serpents, and so forth. The goal achieved by activities based on the three modes of material nature are all within the three material or three mortal worlds. The destination of yoga, severe austerity, and the renounced order of life are in the worlds known as Mahar, Janas, Tapas, and Satya. The goal of devotional service to the Supreme Lord, on the other hand, is the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead and his abode by Kunta. This universe of material action and reaction is constituted under the control of time and the three modes of nature. Moreover, whatever exists in this universe is simply the product of the combination of material nature and her Lord. In the same way that creation proceeds gradually from the one and supremely subtle to the multitudinous and very gross, the process of annihilation proceeds from the grossest to the subtlest manifestation of nature, leaving only the eternal spiritual substance. Thus, ultimate soul remains situated within himself, alone and without end. The mind of a person who meditates on these ideas does not become bewildered by material dualities. This science of Sankhya, narrated in alternating sequences of creation and annihilation, serves to cut off all doubts and bondage. So, that's number one. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Ate akate sampradakshami sankhyam purvai vinishtitam yad vigaya puman sadhyo yayad vaikalpikam dhammam. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Apate Sampavakshami Sankhyam Purvavinishtitam Yad Vijaya Puman Sadhyo Bhagavan Vacha Apate Sampavakshami Sankhyam Purvavinishtitam Yad Vijaya Pumam Sadhyo Jayad Vaikalpikam Vamam. Thank you. The Supreme Personality of God, I say. Atta. Now. Hey. Unto you. Sampavakshami. I shall speak. Sankhyam. The knowledge of the evolution of the elements of creation. By previous authority. Ascertain yet which Shijaya known Umam a person Sajya immediately Jayat can give up Atapikam based on false duality among the illusion. Translation and purport by disciples of Sri Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna said, now I shall describe to you the science of Sankhya, which has been perfectly established by ancient authorities. By understanding this science, a person can immediately give up the illusion of material duality. Purport, in the previous chapter, the Lord explained that one can give up material duality by controlling the mind and fixing it in Krishna consciousness. This chapter describes the Sankhya system in which the difference between matter and spirit is elaborately explained. By hearing this knowledge, one can easily separate the mind from material contamination and fix it on the spiritual platform and Krishna consciousness. The Sankhya philosophy system mentioned here is that presented by Lord Kapila in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and not the atheistic Sankhya presented later by materialists and Mayavadis. The material elements which emanate from the potency of the Lord evolve in a progressive sequence. One should not foolishly think that such evolution begins from an organic material element without the assistance of the Lord. This speculative theory is generated from the false ego of conditioned life and constitutes gross ignorance, unacceptable to the personality of Godhead and his followers. We can read text 2 together. Asi janam tato artha ekam eva dita sutam yada vivekni punna adau pita yage yage. Translation and purport. Ordinarily during the Kripta Yuga, when all men are very expert in spiritual discrimination, and also previous to that, during the period of annihilation, the seer existed alone, non-different from the seen object. Report. Kripta Yuga is the first age, also known as Satya Yuga, in which knowledge, being perfect, is not different from its object. In modern society, knowledge is highly speculative and constantly changing. There is often a vast difference between people's theoretical ideas and actual reality. In such a yuga, however, people are viveka naipuna, or expert in intelligent discrimination, and thus there is no difference between their vision and reality. In such a yuga, the population in general is self-realized. Seeing everything as a potency of the Supreme Lord, they do not artificially create duality between themselves and other living entities. This is a further aspect of the oneness of such a yuga. At the time of annihilation, everything merges to rest within the Lord, and at that time also, there is no difference between the Lord, who becomes the only seer, and the objects of knowledge, which are contained within the Lord. The liberated living entities in the eternal spiritual world are never subject to such mergings, or remain forever undisturbed in their spiritual forms. Because they are voluntarily one with the Lord in love, their abode is never annihilated. Om Jnana Kamaranda Shyam Ganam Jana Shalakaya Prakshin Nava Kamayana Asma Shri Guru Vyamaya. So now we have left the Avanti Brahmana and his realizations behind. One thing I can say in parting to the Avanti Brahmana is that at least his experiences and his struggles with the mind and etc. were something that there's a little familiarity with and I could relate to. When I first read the chapter title here, The Philosophy of Sankhya, and then I read the introduction summary of the chapter, I started to get worried. Because Sankhya philosophy and then the description of what's covered under Sankhya philosophy in the introduction seems very inaccessible to me. So I don't know how long this chapter is, but we're in for some deep philosophy. And I guess my hesitance or trepidation is based on what kind of qualification is necessary to understand the Sankhya philosophy as it is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam in this chapter. And so because it mentions Satya Yuga in the purport to text number 2, and describes a little bit about the qualifications of those that are eligible, who are viveka nankuna, expert in intelligent discrimination, I thought, well, let me see something about these people that can approach and understand and achieve spiritual realization through Sankhya philosophy. So I went to the 12th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, where it describes the characteristics of each yuga. Now, there's further sort of discouragement by reading the characteristics described here in terms of what's necessary to understand Sankhya. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.19 states, "The people of such yuga are for the most part self-realized, merciful, friendly to all, peaceful, sober, and tolerant. They take their pleasure from within, see all things equally, and always endeavor diligently for spiritual perfection." In other words, they're very qualified to undertake this study of Sankhya by their personal characteristics. There are other things described about such yuga as well. I'm not quite sure how they help in the study, but people in such yuga, they were about 30 feet tall. and yeah, 30 feet tall, maybe 35. I didn't bring that reference to me, but very, very tall. And they had a long duration of life, 100,000 years. Is that the year? They go down 100,000, then 10,000, then 1,000, then 100. So they had a lot of time to invest in the type of meditation that's going to be described in this philosophy of Sankhya. They had a lot of time to do that. We often hear of sages during such a yuga who meditated for 60,000 years to achieve perfection. And there are other advantages too during such a yuga. The weather was generally pleasant. We live in a part of the country here where people come here for the weather, but those of us that live here know what it's really like. It's very hot and humid during most of the year. But in Satchayuga, the weather was also favorable, and one of the things that we most engage with in our lives as conditioned souls is gathering enough food to eat and maintain the body. And so to do that, there's tremendous agricultural, I don't want to call it an industry, although it's becoming that, tremendous amount of time and energy goes into just keeping the food supply going. But in Satchayuga, they didn't even have to like have agriculture. They didn't have to cultivate the land. The seeds automatically fell in the land, and sufficient food was produced by the earth. It was given by the earth. There was no necessity for cultivation even. So they didn't have to worry about that. And so they could, with a very peaceful mind, meditate. And there wasn't a lot of competition. In the same part of the 11th canto, it describes that. In the 12th canto, it describes as the yugas progress, war developed. There wasn't war in such a yuga. The discord of people, when we recall this description I read, they're friendly to all. They're peaceful. But as the yugas progressed, war developed. Maybe if we had some time, we can go through some of the specifics. But if you're a sage sitting in the forest meditating and all of a sudden troops start marching through, obviously it's going to disturb your meditation. So Satchayuga was ideal for this type of Sankhya realization. So what about us? We're beginning a new chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. At least it presents some challenges for me. So how are we going to fare in terms of our qualifications? How are we going to fare in our attempt to differentiate spirit from matter? That's the purpose. It's described in the purport for the first verse. This chapter describes the Sankhya system in which the difference between matter and spirit is elaborately explained. So how are we going to understand that? Obviously, there's a benefit for us in understanding the difference between matter and spirit, because understanding that difference allows us to escape this material realm, which is full of all kinds of miseries. So how are we going to fare in doing that as we undertake this endeavor to study this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, I thought we should do a SWOT analysis. Is everyone familiar with SWOT analysis? SWOT analysis is SWOT analysis. Okay, well, let me just give you a little introduction to the SWOT analysis. It's something that let's go with the initials first. SWOT. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. If we look at any endeavor we undertake, look at the strengths that we bring to the table, the weaknesses that are inherent in us, what opportunities or hopes we have to achieve by undertaking the endeavor, and threats or obstacles to achieving that goal. We analyze this as a SWOT analysis. And it's something that's done in businesses or nonprofit organizations. It's something that I'm suggesting can be done in our own personal lives in terms of spiritual realization and opportunities that we have to achieve the goals of self-realization, of going back home, back to Godhead. So I'm going to ask you to go through this with all of us today so that we can get a look at how to approach not only this chapter, but our goal of becoming Krishna consciousness. So, I was mentioning some of the things from Satya Yuga because those are kind of strengths that people have in Satya Yuga to achieve their objectives. They're self-satisfied, merciful, friendly to all, peaceful, sober, tolerant, take pleasure from within. We're in Kali Yuga. What are some of the strengths that we have to achieve the goal of spiritual realization? Anybody want to think about that? What are some of the things that carry on? You can just shout them out and I'll repeat them because they might hear something.
And you could achieve what they achieved in 100,000 years in Satya through meditation. Just a simple chanting, and then there was no rules and regulations.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
So he's quoting, actually paraphrasing a verse from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kriteja Jayato Vishnu Chaitayam Yajato Makai. So we have the process of chanting Hare Krishna. And that's one strength that we have, yes. What are the strengths that we have? Can I ask you?
Yeah, this is from the 11th canto, 5th chapter, 36th or 37th verse, that we experience so much distress in Kali Yuga that
it
was forced to take shelter
of
the holy name.
Oh, okay, so distress, it becomes a strength because it forces us to take shelter of the holy name. Okay, let's go come off of it.
Next
the pure devotee, connection with the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada giving us instruction, that's certainly a strength. The strength, I think, you know, of all. Anyway, yes.
The Ganga Granth can be heard for 2 blocks, but the 2 blocks can be heard around the world.
So books, Srila Prabhupada's books is a strength, and not only for us, but it can be distributed quite widely. Yeah, okay. Have I gotten it?
Wherever one goes on the planet Earth, there is likely to be a temple.
Oh, yes. The spreading of the ISKCON society and temples all over the world. I heard an interesting story one time about Yadubar. Yadubar apparently had been going in some remote areas of Thailand or something like that. And when he was up there, I mean, he found that a group of people, simply based on having received Srila Prabhupada's books, had started a temple and were worshiping and everything like that. They had no contact with the devotees, but just from his books. I heard another story from Charu Prabhu. He went out in the outback in Australia. He was way out in the outback someplace there, and he met some Americans there in the outback of Australia. He met some Americans, that knew about Hare Krishna. So yes, the spread of the Krishna consciousness movement and being available everywhere is certainly a strength for us, anywhere we go. Yes. Okay, Prabhupada simplified the philosophy in such a way that we can understand. Hopefully that's going to come through in this chapter. Philosophy as well. Is it? Oh, Lord Chaitanya coming in this age of Kali to deliver all the things. Varuna. Association of devotees, very important one, because without association all these other things may not be as vibrant of a strength. Okay, so we did pretty good with strengths. Let's talk about weakness. Vedanta? You want to take the darkest thing that's available in Kali Yuga, the internet, and use it as a strength. You know, that's good. Okay, good. Okay, what are weaknesses? Weaknesses are negative factors which could prevent us from achieving success. What are types of weaknesses? Oh, okay. Okay, good. I have that verse here too. Prayamau payusha sabya kalovas nimiyedana mandasumanda matiyo manda bhagya hipadrita. In the purport of this, Prabhupada elaborates. He says that men in this age are not victims not only of different political creeds and parties, but also of many different types of sense gratificatory diversions, such as cinemas, sports, gambling, clubs, mundane libraries, bad associations, smoking, drinking, cheating, pilfering, bickering, and so on. So these are weaknesses in Kali Yuga because we're, as victims of Kali Yuga, we're prone to all these kind of things. So, yes, weaknesses, good again.
The Sankirtan movement was talking about for 10,000 years, not for them.
Oh, very interesting. The Sankirtan movement, which carries all these benefits, it only lasts for 10,000 years in Kali Yuga, and then it's a golden age, and then there's so much misery. So let's get out while we can, and hopefully we can. Any other weaknesses that are there that we have? Yes, Madame Mohan.
The Varnashram system is kind of so, you know, basically social convention is all topsy-turvy. The women aren't just all the stuff that Archie says in those chapters. I think women aren't ever.
Okay, yeah, all the social structure. Now, this is very important because even Prabhupada said toward the end that he wanted to teach Varnashram to the devotees because he was perceiving that maintaining the high level of spirituality that was required and that he taught, people were proving unable to meet it. There was some weakness there. So he wanted to provide some strength, and he looked to the Varnashram system as providing that strength for his devotees and for the ISKCON society in general. Public, everybody in the world would benefit from that. A social structure which is very convenient and helpful for for advancing in spiritual life. So the absence of that is a weakness. Yes, very much. Taking other devotees for granted. Yeah. Okay. If we look, go to the 12th canto, there's some of the descriptions of people in Kali Yuga. People in Kali Yuga tend to be greedy, ill-behaved, and merciless. That's what you're saying. And they fight one another without good reason. So, yeah, not appreciating others. Okay. What about opportunities? What kind of opportunities? Opportunities are interesting in this kind of a SWOT analysis because they're opportunities to achieve something or desire something or strive for something that we might not ordinarily be able to obtain. So hopes, opportunities are hopes. What kind of hopes do we have for becoming Krishna conscious? Opportunities to serve. Yeah. Opportunity to complete our Krishna consciousness in one lifetime. This is also very, very important because these sages meditated for 60,000 years. Of course, they had 100,000 year lifespan. We have a lifespan of 100 years. So, in a sense, if we can perfect ourselves within 100 years and get out, we got a good deal, right? We didn't have to spend 60,000 years meditating because we could get it in one life. So that opportunity is there. That's a good point. Any other opportunities? Yes, Don. He's the opportunity man. He's the only one that sees the opportunities here. Oh, yes. Srila Prabhupada said, hold on to his dhoti. He has a key to the back door. He'll let us in. Tamahakudu.
Even though this is Kali Yuga, which is not the highest
philosophy, so we have the realization of Krishna and the process of everything we do is our fault. Yes, and that's, he paraphrases, Nartam Das Thakur's song, Samsara Vishanala Viva Nisha. My heart is burning in the fire of material existence and I have no provisions for getting out. The only remedy is Harinam Sankirtan, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is imported from the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. How unfortunate I am that I have no attraction for this. So yes, praying Nam, Sankirtan, the highest realization is available through chanting Hare Krishna. Not just achieving liberation or freedom from material distress, but actually attaining love. And one of the primary rasas with Krishna is available in this age of Kali. So it's a wonderful opportunity, practically an unprecedented opportunity for us in one life, to achieve that. So much good can be attained. Okay, any other? Yes, one more opportunity.
Even though you mentioned that everywhere in the world there's people that have already heard about Krishna, there's quite a lot that happens. So the opportunity is there to get the mercy of the Lord by reaching out.
Okay, getting the mercy of the Lord. What is it? What is the saying about to approach the conditioned soul? To get the mercy of the Lord. What is it? Get the mercy of Lord Nityananda by approaching Jagannatha. Yes, so that's a wonderful opportunity. Opportunity works interestingly in spiritual life. It's not opportunity. If you take the opportunity for benefiting someone else, we get benefited. It's not just a selfish kind of opportunity, but if we benefit others, then we get benefited. Okay, well now what about threats, the last one? What kind of threats or obstacles do we face? I was reading this bhajan Narottam Das Thakur says, he's unfortunate because he has no attraction for Guru Kiyara Pramadana Harinama Sankirtana. So, is that a threat or an obstacle? His feelings? Very carefully. Aparads are, yes, that's an obstacle. Aparads are an obstacle. Yes. Poor leadership. Actually, that's one of the symptoms described in the first canto about the people in the age of Kali, is that not only are they unfortunate in so many ways, but then they're unfortunate because cheating teachers come along, and they mislead people and misguide people in various ways. And so that's certainly a threat to being able to make spiritual advancement. So that's a threat.
That's a positive as well as a threat.
Okay. Yeah. He said that people are developing technologically, scientifically, because, and help me if I don't get this right, as instead of developing spiritually. And so the tension between the two is a threat, but it can also be a benefit. And how can it be a benefit? Okay. So scientific development can be utilized for spiritual objectives and thus be spiritualized, and then it becomes a benefit. Okay. Come on.
Internal discord or internal issues, internal threats, but then there is some movement that may hinder unity and hinder the cooperation and the availability and benefit of association with others.
Wow, very good. What did Prabhupada say? This movement can't be destroyed from outside, but from within. So internal strife, very, very big threat to achieving such a great thing in spiritual advancement. Spiritual laziness, very good. It's one of the things that's mentioned again in the first canto, that men are lazy. They're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So you can't be lazy. And it becomes a spiritual life. Be enthusiastic. That's the key. Yeah.
Sometimes Prabhupada would describe it that we're at war with Maya when we came out of Krishna. So if you're at war, that's a threat. And she's has a lot of inside connections, so you have to actually be attentive. That Niyamagraha can kind of.
And again, what did Prabhupada say? It's amazing. He covered everything. He said something for everything. What did he say about this? He said that the only fault I find in my disciples, they're not afraid enough of Maya. Right? The only fault that I find in my disciples is that they're not afraid enough of Maya. And so, yeah, that's certainly a threat, you know, because Maya, she does her service very wonderfully. Okay, so we've done this. Oh, I got my last one. Yeah, threats. That's true, but you know, there's a story about one of our god sisters. After around Boston, she was originally one of the typists. I don't know her name. Isha? Yeah, no, she was already older than most of us at the time of Prabhupada. And as she advanced in age, she became sort of mentally impaired. But the only thing she could say was Hare Krishna. So despite the degeneration of various mental abilities, she could say and repeat Hare Krishna. And that's the only thing she could say. So, and there are different stories like that, how devotees, the holy name transcends the material body. Okay, so we've done strengths, weaknesses, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Do you think, on the basis of this analysis, it's worth it to pursue spiritual life? Do we have a good chance, in this analysis, of achieving our goal of distinguishing between matter and spirit, and ultimately going home back to God? Do we have, what is your analysis? 100%, yeah. Okay, well then it's worth it. It's worth all of our endeavor, you know, to do this. So let's remember this as we go through this chapter on the philosophy of Sankhya, which can be quite daunting, and I'm sure it will present some interesting challenges to those of us who get the opportunity to speak on it. So, comments, reflections, questions, anything before we close today? Okay, well thank you all for participating in this spot analysis. Hare Krishna.